going on, Street Cop fam? I'm Frankie Rodriguez. I'm the podcast producer for the Street Cop podcast. Unfortunately, on this episode, you'll notice that our audio on our end, we had some technical difficulties. It doesn't sound the best. However, after discussing with Dennis, we wouldn't want to keep this episode from you guys. It's a really impactful episode with a lot of great information and nuggets and an important message. So thank you guys all for your continued support. And again, our apologies for the technical difficulties. We hope you enjoy the episode and thank you for your support.
Any given person can get dispatched to that call and you have to go. But what happens after you put it in park, you get out and you make that connection? That's when your decision point happens, right? Because, you know, making a difference for somebody is not showing up. Like a lot of times folks are like, oh, you get the call and you have to go. Yeah, you have to go. But it's all up to you what you do with that opportunity.
I want to start this podcast by saying, in the past 2 weeks, I ran into two people that work for you, and sometimes people are, you know, when they know I'm friends with their boss, they'll say like, "Oh yeah, he's a good dude," or like, "Yeah, like, you know, Joe's not, you know, Captain So and So's a nice guy."
Yeah.
When I tell you that, when I brought your name up, the fact that they really prefaced how much you're liked and how much everybody loves you versus like how much you'll actually admit that in real life. Like if he's telling you that he thinks people like him, just know that this agency like worships this man. Like there, he doesn't have a fucking enemy here.
No, that's
people
not true.
Love him and we, so I just want to say that when we're talking to, and dude, I get a lot of messages, people like, when I hear Corey Flowers talk, like it just really does a lot. It resonates with me. But dude, I'm telling you, the people that work for you that I know thus far that I've met, I've talked to two of them in the past, like I said, week to 2 weeks.
Right.
They couldn't say enough nice things about you. As a matter of fact, they made it seem like they were talking about like the best thing that ever happened to them.
Okay. That's troubling. That's over the top. But no, I mean, dude, honestly, like you're meeting, what's interesting is the folks you're meeting are the ones that are attracted to the kind of training that you're putting out. Which means they're attracted to like proactive, aggressive training because they want to be proactive, you know, aggressive cops. And, you know, those are the folks that, I mean, that's where I come from. And those are the folks that I try to empower. I will say like, I've definitely got folks that like, if everybody likes you, that's not a good sign. Like that's a real bad sign. But I would say, you know, if I had to pick, I would prefer all of the young guys and gals, P1s, P2s, P3s that are just killing the game out here hustling. Like if they overwhelmingly appreciate what you're doing, that's a good sign. The ones in administrative places and upward, you know, if, okay. I mean, you know, the priority is the folks doing the work. And so I'm glad to hear that because, you know, that makes sense to me. That's my report card on me, in my opinion, is how the guys and the gals, the young ones who are out here hustling, if they value what I'm doing, like that's what's most important. And to me, that's a good report. That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. That's cool.
Yeah, dude, like overwhelming. Like, it's not just like, it wasn't just like, yeah. It's like, no, man, like we thank the Lord every day for Captain Corey Flowers. Like, and that's boy, cool. He should achieve somewhere for some people because this dude's a gift to everybody.
Well, again, I appreciate it, man. That's that makes me feel kind of uncomfortable to hear that. But yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, you'd rather be liked than not, and you'd rather be liked for the right reasons. And so if those folks, the folks that are spending money out of their own pocket to take time and drive and come to your classes, if they're the ones that you know, that are hustling here and they value what we're doing, then I'm grateful for that. That's great. That's really
good. I'm going to read some tweets I put out, and then you can comment on them.
Yes.
This in my mind, because you know what? I have a gift of ADHD, and so these wonderful things just come to me when I have a clear head. Okay, I'm going to read this first one to you.
Right.
And something got real big or a lot of attention. And so people really like some of the stuff that I wrote.
Yeah.
Here's the first one. Did this one today. Police training was allowed to be subpar until the iPhone dash cam and body cam were invented. Now it needs to be beyond great in a society that expects their police officers to actually know what they're doing. Hmm. Sorry, folks. You just can't get away with not knowing anymore.
Yeah. That, man, that's almost universally applied. Like, you know, what the internet has done for us, but no, you're right. So like right now, today we can anybody in our state or any state can go into their state mandated in-service training, and then they'll leave and go work the next night on the street and see how a lot of times those trainings don't, like, they're not what you need. And so, yeah, that's it's kind of peeled back the layers. So it's also made, you know, that's the negative side. The pro side is tools and businesses like what you've created, where you can not only supplement a lot of that unfortunate in-service training, but you can also, you know, excel and build a very, very professional product that folks need and they can get to it. So, yeah, no, I agree with that, man. That's a good one and very timely. You still see some of the training is effectively, a lot of it's from the 60s, 70s, 80s, bygone eras. You know, you always talk about, you know, folks whacking each other with the foam batons and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, that still goes on. That really still happens. And in our agency, I think I asked recently, I don't think we've had an ass baton usage the way that it's trained, like one maybe in the past couple of years. Just nobody's doing it. So it's interesting, but we still train it. It's intriguing.
So to go off of that, like, when do the gatekeepers and the sword holders open the gates and lay their swords down and maybe relinquish some of this stuff to those who actually have resolutions to the problems that we face? Yeah. Like, what is it about people who are quote unquote in charge that they're so afraid of to let somebody else help them because they think they can do it better than everybody at every fucking level?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I've asked the same thing. So in our state, we sit through 24 hours of mandatory yearly in-service training. And then on top of that, your agency can add whatever they want, which we add a significant amount. But the in-service that's like for this year, for 2023, the in-service training for our state is decided upon about a year ago, give or take, at the very minimum, probably longer. And it's formulated by a board at our Justice Academy that's made up of, you know, retired chiefs, retired sheriffs, that kind of thing, who haven't, you know, carried a gun on the street in decades and decades. So you've got folks that are not exactly dialed into what we need, voting on topics a year ago for 2023. So you're asking them to use a crystal ball. I don't know that a lot of times it's holding on to, you know, the power as just the disconnect. Like this is what I would do. If I got hired as the high emperor of the Justice Academy of any state, I would reach out to a couple of, you know, urban police departments. And I would ask, look, give me your guys and gals that are out here hustling, the ones that are making proactive arrests. I want to meet them in the office. And I just say, hey, guys, what do y'all need? What is your training? What do you need? Like, actually need versus, you know, what are some things that we're doing because of whatever political pressure, things we're training on of, you know, to, you know, various sensitivity topics, that kind of thing. Though those can serve a purpose. Often they're often we spend way too much time on them versus what we need. And you take the, you know, what a novel idea, like take the recommendation of the folks out here doing the job today. That's how I would do it.
All right. Here's the next one I wrote.
Yep.
Every day a police officer has an opportunity to be there for someone in their time of need. Not because they have a job to do, because they can choose to do that job with humanity, respect, and compassion. Mm-hmm. Treat everyone the way you would want your family to be treated.
Yep.
By that.
Yep. No, and yeah, right. And the distinction is any given person can get dispatched to that call and you have to go. But what happens after you put it in park, you get out and you make that connection? That's when your decision point happens, right? Because, you know, making a difference for somebody is not showing up. Like a lot of times folks are like, oh, you get the call and you have to go. Yeah, you have to go. But it's all up to you what you do with that opportunity. I mean, you know, you mentioned a story about connecting with a young boy. I think it was a young fella on a call that you went on and how that made an impression on a female relative there. And it stuck with her. It's all about what you do when you get there. Like you can take that opportunity and squander it. You know, we do a lot of Bible reading in my house. And one thing that that I was mentioning to the kids recently is, you know, we believe that, you know, God has certain like good deeds prepared for you, but it's up to you whether you cooperate with that or not. Like today you can leave here today, you can leave your office and go about and see somebody that needs some kind of help. And you have a decision to make. And that could be like a really like a gift of an opportunity for you if you cooperate with it and say, man, I'm feeling tugged in that direction. Like, I just feel like that the guy changing the tire on the side of the road, like he needs somebody to hold the flashlight for him. Like, that's a big deal. Whatever it is, but you start cooperating with those opportunities, makes a big difference for the person, and it makes a big difference for you. And I think that's the difference between folks that do our profession well and get fulfilled by it versus folks that just get burnt out easily. That's neat, man. I mean, it's if you head into each day on this job with that kind of viewpoint, like, you know, I'm going to get thrown some opportunities today. I'm going to go with them to my full, like to the as fulfilling and full as I can. I think that's how you don't squander these opportunities. That's a good one. I like that.
This one's a little more topical, got the most likes. So I'll give you a few more. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Since when did the police become the problem, but criminals and crime aren't?
Yep.
I'm so confused. I think everyone is.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You remember maybe three conversations ago, I mentioned to you that one of the things that I've said to everybody here in District 2 is, like, I fantasize about the day when all of our problems are outside of this building, out in the streets of our district, as opposed to internal squabbles, internal nonsense, administrative headaches, all of the things that a lot of times get in our way, and we allow to choose to become obstacles and problems for us. I want all the problems to be with, you know, crime and the bad guys and, you know, suspects and problems outside. But a lot of time, you know, and it could be administrative nonsense, bad rules, bad policy, but it could also be just, you know, the old crab pot analogy of officers just tearing each other down and rumors and got like malicious gossip, stuff like that. One of my best friends used to work here. He was a captain here, and he unfortunately got sick and moved on in 2021, but he used to call those unforced errors. Like, you know, things that we don't have to do those things, like a tennis player hitting a ball in a net. You know, it's the same idea. You know, rumors, nonsense, bickering, talking behind other folks' backs, being kind of twistedly delighted in watching somebody fall, or, you know, somebody make an error and end up in IA and watching them get disciplined and you delight in it. Like, stuff like that, unforced errors, you know, headaches from within don't have a place here. I want all of the problems to be the you know, bad guys. I like that. That's a good one too, man. You're hitting the tin ring for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of why who I am.
Yeah, yeah, dude, hitting the tin ring. There you go. That's it.
There's something that I really encompass, and it's a saying out of actually one of Dave Chappelle's comedy specials. Because if you actually watch Dave Chappelle, and you can show up and just listen. First of all, I don't know if there's been a better comedian in history than the way this man can deliver his humor.
Yep.
Politically, there, but that's his craft, and I respect that. There are things that he says I don't agree with.
Yep.
But this is the craft of an artist. There's a lot of hidden messages in his comedic acts, if you watch him on Netflix, but one of them that's been clipped and spread around social media is the cowards rejoice when a hero falls.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's spot on. That's philosophy, man. And honestly, you know, speaking of, you know, comedians in general, Dave Chappelle specifically, comedians are like the last, I mean, honestly, in 2023 are some of the last truth tellers we have in society anyway. I mean, everybody else gets hushed. Everybody else, you know, folds to the political pressure or changes their sales campaign based on numbers or politics. But, you know, we have like cutting wise. I mean, they're the old jesters. They're the who the jesters used to be in the court, in the king's courts of old. They come everything is fair game. Right. They can talk about anything they want. And we have to protect those folks, those mavericks. That's spot on there. You know, it harkens back to even, you know, Teddy Roosevelt's man in the arena analogy, right? It's not the critic that counts, right? That's not the idea. It's the one who is actually in the arena, her face marred with blood and sweat and dust. That's whose opinion matters. And I'm gonna tell you, it's something that we've talked about a lot recently. I've had young guys and gals talk to me about how, you know, somebody has said something about their work ethic or their work product, or, you know, have kind of ticked them off something they've said. And I always tell them, look, you should have a very small circle of people whose opinion really, really matters. And then there should be everybody else. And those everybody else, they can say whatever they want. I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter what you say. Your opinion is not valid. You should have that small circle whose opinion is extremely valid, and you pass everything through that filter. And if I reach out to, you know, right today, if I reach out to one of my tight circle of friends, Matt, Anthony, John, Buchanan, like a lot of these folks, and I ask them a question, like, I'm going to listen to their opinion, and it's going to influence how I change, how I live from there on. And everybody else, the other 7.95 billion people on the planet, it's fine. You don't know, you know, you don't have that permission with me. And so therefore, I'm not going to get twisted when you throw a, you know, you have a bad impression of me. That's fine. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's hard. Easier said than done, but that's the proper way to kind of view life, I think.
When I saw and read The Man in the Arena, probably for the first time in my life, 3 or 4 years ago,
yep,
I immediately found a like artistic depiction of it, yep, on like Etsy.
Oh yeah.
And so I bought it, and it was expensive. It was like $135, right?
Yep. Yep.
And so, you know, you don't know about our office here in New Jersey, but essentially we moved from down the hall to the office that we're in now.
Mm.
And when we moved, I remember on moving day, we had so much stuff from one office to another. We have a lot of shit here.
Yep.
I purposely took time to just hang that one thing up, and it sits, yep, right outside my office. And I got to, yep, tell you, to this day, it's one of the very few things. Yes. Even though there's plenty of things to hang in here, we still haven't hung them.
Yep.
But that's the one thing that hangs up. And, you know, I'll tell you this as well. There was a gentleman who sent me a message, and it's the message I read in my Karate Patrol class. And it's the first message I've received of somebody who told me that they decided not to kill themselves,
mm-hmm,
because of the work that I was doing.
Yep.
And so, in turn, I sent that guy a copy of The Man in the Arena.
Oh, yeah.
Something similar to mine. Yep. Maybe a little bit cheaper, like $75 or $80. I found one.
Yep.
And I sent it to him. And, you know, that was my gift back. I didn't send him a Street Cop shirt.
Yep.
It's just a reminder that, and I said it I remember saying it on Instagram. Somebody was criticizing my work. And this happens. There's Instagram pages dedicated to poking fun at me.
Yeah.
And so nobody makes something for everybody.
Right.
And if this isn't for you, then it's just not for you. You could just disagree with me.
That's right.
And mind your own business. But, right, you know, unfortunately, you have to think about where somebody's at mentally and what they're going through, that they're going to take time, energy, and effort to spend their precious life,
yes,
trying to chop down my trees.
Yep. Yeah. What a massive waste of energy, you know. And again, you know, particularly since, you know, my good pal passed on, like I think about, you know, you only have so many days, you only have so much energy, like spend it well, spend it like currency. You know, why would you wasting your time criticizing somebody that you'll never meet? And again, like you don't have any permissions or rights to them anyway. It's a national pastime, and it's just, it's the worst. And again, that those people, you're just kind of like, I got it, you know, check, you exist. I understand that's where you find your pleasure, but you know, I'm like, I've got a place to be, you know, onward with me and my tribe of folks. Yeah. It's, yeah.
I just today, this morning, when I'm on a routine and a roll right now. So this is where I was prior to going to Mykonos, Greece.
Yep.
I literally lost control of my life throughout the summer. And I think I brought this up on the podcast.
Yep.
My third son, his friend's father, is a fitness coach. And he's like 2 weeks ago, he was like, yeah, what happened, bro? And I'm like, well, I'm still strong. He's like, yeah, but you know, I'm like, well, I was, you know, in the summer, dude, like I kind of like fell off track a little bit. And I put myself, that's the beautiful thing about a routine.
Right.
You can fall off track and get right back on it.
Yep. Yep.
This morning during my routine, I actually caught myself getting off my path a little bit,
yep,
and falling into a little bit of a wormhole on Instagram Reels.
Yep.
But there's this video clip, and this is why I like social media, of Michael Keaton. I don't know if you've seen this.
Huh.
And he says, dude, spend time with your kids. Like, no matter what, I don't care what's going on in your life, you will, yep, never regret spending time with your kids.
That's good.
Ever in your life. You'll never look back and say, I should have done that with my kids.
Yep. That's good. Yeah, for sure.
A guy who is, you know, Michael Keaton's gotta be, what, 75 years old? He's gotta be up, yeah, there for 75, 77. He's up there.
He's been around for a long time.
And here he is telling you about what he's learned. And after all this, he's like, look, yeah, spend time with your kids.
Yep.
Don't ever forfeit that.
Yep. And that's the same, you know, that's the same idea. You know, honestly, you know, he's considered an old guy now. I mean, by American standards, when you're 40 at this point, you're old. You're considered old. But, you know, it's very, very uncool to sit down and just have a conversation with an old person, right? Or reading, like, is also very uncommon. It's unpopular. It's the same idea, but you can get so much wisdom from those folks, right? There's a saying that says you can a man can loan someone else his knowledge, but you have to get your own wisdom, right? So yeah, you hear that from a guy that's lived the vast majority of his life already. You know, he's loaning that knowledge, that wisdom to us, and we don't have to make the same errors. Like, we can take him at his word and trust that that's a good priority. And I know, I think that makes sense. And with your routines, man, it's, you know, whether it's building a new routine about working out or eating or anything like that, a lot of common nonsense online folks will, you know, are talking about, you know, follow your heart and be inspired and all that. Honestly, most of that's nonsense. Typically speaking, particularly if you're starting like a new routine, like you've started, it's all about you don't even pay attention to how you feel about it. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, none of that. You just do it. And what happens is the attitude, the heart, the mind actually will follow the body a lot of times. It's not the other way around. You don't do it when you feel like it. You just do it. And then, like you said, pretty soon you'll find yourself feeling like it, which makes it easier. But that's where a lot of people fall off the track is, I'm just not, you know, I'm just having an off day. I'm just not feeling like it. I'm having whatever it is, writer's block, or I've got a sore toe, or whatever. You can always find an excuse. Just do it and the mind will follow. It's pretty intriguing, but you have to make it, you know, you have to make your mind your own servant. It's hard to do, but that's true.
Hard to do, but it's worth it. And yep. The results are exact. You know, yesterday I had this, we have Wawa's. You got Wawa's in North Carolina yet?
No, but I know what it is. I was in New Jersey last weekend shooting the show. So yeah, I was up there.
Where at?
So we record On Patrol Live in Jersey City. So I was in Jersey City this past weekend. And I will say, let me say this for the record. I will challenge you. I was probably even a little more New Jersey-ish than you were at one point on Friday. I landed, I got the car to the hotel, and then I went for a run in Jersey City down through Liberty Park to the backside of the Statue of Liberty while listening to Bruce Springsteen's autobiography on Audible. Now, you can't get a whole lot more New Jersey than that. I didn't have a hoodie on. I didn't have a lot of hair gel, but dude, that's pretty good, right? Do I get a temporary citizenship card for that? What do you think?
I think that you were really emboldening and living the experience of being in New Jersey.
Good. And all right. So good.
The only thing that could have made you a little more New Jersey was maybe having a meatball parm in your hand and Bon Jovi running next to you.
Oh, good call.
And, and the lead car was Snooki.
Oh, well, yeah. Now I'm out on that. I'd go for like I got a couple friends that said I need to grab a black and white cookie. I don't know what that is, but they said like a black and white deli cookie is something that you want. I said, all right, yeah. I'll find something like that too. But
You know, if you ever get to where I live in some way, shape, or form, you get to this office, I will make sure that I will try to give you the best New Jersey experience I possibly can. And right, one thing I want to tell you about Jersey City is like they have some of the best food options in the state.
Okay.
And so like if you are not hitting certain pizzerias there, and of course there's a place called Razza. And they don't pay me for this.
Yeah.
And they don't need the advertising. Razza has been named, I think, like 8 years in a row, the best pizza in the country. Now, I haven't eaten there.
Oh, I got to go.
Yeah, but people have told me it's like, it's unbelievable. And I got to tell you, the guys and girls at Jersey City, even their administration, creme de la creme, brother. Old school, fantastic. They're great human beings. They have a very difficult job to do. I was honored and delighted to do a lot of work for them pro bono because I felt like I deserved it.
Yeah, that's a good call.
And they're a fantastic group. I don't know what it is about the culture of that place. They're just good dudes. Even their administration and their internal affairs, they're all good fucking dudes.
That's a rare thing, man, for a big agency. Yeah, they had the Jersey City Marathon was going on Saturday. And so, you know, there's cops everywhere. So, I was hanging out and talking with some of them in the rain. I mean, they're out there getting poured on. And but the same thing, same DNA, man. Anywhere you go, you talk cop to cop, then you immediately find your friends, you find your team. It's easy. So, yeah, that's good to hear.
Well, when you're up here, let me know and I'll shoot up and meet you for dinner. I mean, I'm only like an hour away.
Oh, check. Yeah, yeah. Great. Yeah.
Perfect. We'll go somewhere. We will go to Razza. I've never had it and that'd be good.
All right. That's good. That's the plan. Very good. I'm going to hold you to it. And I know you got
as long as I'm around, I should be around. It's not a problem.
Perfect. No, that'd be good, man. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, we've been doing that. You know, that's been a neat experiment with, you know, with the TV show, with On Patrol Live, because it's one of the few places, you know, here is great. You hit a huge audience. There is great. You hit a huge audience where we get to just cheerlead the profession. Like, that's, you know, what a novel idea. There's so many loud voices that are detractors and like truly anti, like mostly ignorant, but anti cop. And there's just very few places where you can, you know, like, this is a megaphone. Like, what you have here is a megaphone to speak to millions of people. And, you know, to be able to cheerlead the profession is just great. So that's why I love these conversations a lot, like that opportunity.
Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference. Click the link. Register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference.
Back on track here. Let's do the next one. You're going to like this one. This was good. This one might have been Corey Flowers inspired.
Well, I got fired. The Teddy Roosevelt is going to be hard to beat because he's one of my heroes. Like, when I was in New York last month, we visited his birthplace. Like, I'm a big Teddy Roosevelt guy. So that one will be hard to beat. Let's see what you got. Bring it on.
Well, I didn't tweet the man in the arena. That was Teddy Roosevelt's.
Right.
And he, and you know, he left that gift. It's a very, I've watched documentaries on Teddy Roosevelt. He's a very interesting guy.
And he was police commissioner of New York. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
He also imposed a lot of unfavorable laws,
yeah,
but then didn't back down or bow from them. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah. You know how you tend to, like, I respect anybody, even if they're exactly opposite of my opinion, if they hold to it, you know, without wavering. And that was the kind of guy he was. If he said something, he was just going to stand on it, which is great. He also got shot in the chest while giving a speech running for president. And the shirt that he got shot in is in this National Historic Site in New York. He got shot in the chest. It went into his stainless steel glasses holder and into the speech he was carrying. It embedded in his chest, and he carried it till the day he died. But he finished the speech. The speech was another like 40 pages. And he said, look, I've just let y'all know, I've recently been shot in the chest a few minutes ago, but the people where I come from, they would be, you know, they wouldn't expect anything other than me finishing this speech. So that's what we're going to do. And he finished the speech, which is pretty epic. Yeah, pretty cool.
Tweet number 3 or 4, whichever one we're on. To start fixing an organization as a leader, you must ask your rank and file what is wrong. Then listen. Then act to fix the things that bother them most.
Yeah.
We can never stop improving. If this is an idea that you don't like, you're probably a manager, not a leader.
Woo. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, right. So a couple things with that. When you ask a question, you got to stick around for the answer. And remember, you asked the question. I told you, you know, when we first took over the division here, that was always what I was trying to ask folks is like, give me a problem to solve. What needs to be solved? Oh, it's hot in the gym. All right, we'll buy a fan right now. You guys need a piece of gear, you know, you want big bulletin boards to put pictures of the guns that you're seizing, like done right now, done. So, you know, you got to hang around for the answer, but yeah, if they're saying things that are hitting too close to home, you know, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign at all. I mean, like we've always said, the truth is your friend. And when you ask, it's only fair that you listen. You should always be solving problems. I read that on, this past weekend, I think Colin Powell was saying, like, the minute that you stop solving problems, you're no longer a leader, period. So if you're not either solving or looking to solve the next problem, you're actually not doing anything. You're not effective as a leader. So that's a really good one. I like that a lot.
Next one. Want some good training advice that's free for all cops? Go watch 2 hours worth of videos of cops being significantly injured or killed in line of duty to remind yourself of what's possible in this line of work.
Yeah.
See what they did right in the ladder to save your life.
Yeah. And that's, you know, honestly, that's we watch a lot of those videos. And, you know, if you're not using them as training, then you're not thinking. I mean, you're wasting whatever, you know, whatever loss they had. I mean, if they lost their life, you're wasting that because you're not learning from the mistake they made a lot of times or the oversight. I've got a good friend that teaches a class called Surviving the Day. And it's all about preparing your mind for an active, you know, gunfight, how to deal with the aftermath, how to deal with IA, how to deal with the media, how to deal with even your in-laws. And he shows a lot of those videos. And his point is, look, we're not watching this for, you know, the gruesome factor. We're watching this because what happened to our brothers and sisters in these videos could have happened to us. And we're wasting what happened to them if we don't learn from it. So, yeah, that's a take 3 or 4 minutes and just watch and remind yourself, like, this is no joke. I try to remind folks all the time, you know, you need to get your mind right. I got a brand new, it's right here. I picked it up an hour ago. I got a 6-foot-wide reflective sign to go on our back gate that automatically opens when our officers leave to enter the district. And it says, prepare your mind, exit to serve, in big reflective blue and white letters. Because I want them to, when they leave here, I want them to see it and think, oh yeah, you know, I was just inside the wire, inside the door, eating with my pals. I've got my armor back on. And when you leave here, it's on. So you need to have your mind right. You need to prepare your mind, even if that's a reminder of a big reflective 6-foot sign that I'm getting ready to affix to our back gate. But yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Don't waste those sacrifices.
The last one that I do. Complacency is a word so overused at the academy level that it loses its value. But the crazy thing is almost every person I've spoken with who got shot on duty told me they got complacent. Treat this job as if you were going to die and you will live. And then I actually put this.
Wow.
Please stop thinking it can't happen to you and start treating today like it's the day it will. Yep. And, you know, I actually commented, I put people like, hey, listen, it doesn't mean you've got to draw down on everybody you meet.
Right.
It means you've got to be on alert. And unfortunately, that's how you have to prepare your mind and body when you're showing up to do this job.
Yep.
And there are people who are house mouses who were significantly injured in the line of duty. I mean, you got people who think they're checked out of the game because they work inside, but they're going to lunch in uniform with a gun on.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But like barely a gun, like barely a holster, just hanging loose, no armor, not paying attention, zero situational awareness. And the other side of that, I mean, is like you said, prepare, treat today like it might go down today. Like this might be the day. We've got an officer here in the district. Her name is Katie Bilbrey. She was out of the academy like less than a year, I think. And she responded on a middle of the night call to a break-in, right? An unknown caller called in and said, there's a guy breaking in this particular house on a cul-de-sac. Well, it turns out that the guy that made the call was intending to ambush any cop that showed up. So he placed the false call, which spawned her going. So again, she's been here like a year at that point. She does everything textbook, zero complacency, parked way down the cul-de-sac, blacked out, walked in on foot, kept her light off until she absolutely needed it. And when she passed by the guy literally laying in wait with his pistol trained on, you know, where the officer would come, he threw a round at her from her 3 o'clock, from her 9 o'clock. And she ducked, responded, ran back to the car, drew down, started engaging him, threw a couple rounds down, reloaded, pressed on him, gave him commands and hit him in the leg and put him down, arrested him. That's a 1-year cop. And what that showed is she was prepared. If she was complacent, she would have likely surrendered, you know, stood still, not moved, not maneuvered, not returned fire, not given any verbal commands. She took cover. I mean, it was the thing that textbook tactics are written from. And, you know, we show that to the academy now. It's like, look, this is her a year after where you're sitting and she got ambushed in the middle of the night. That could be you. However, her mind was aggressive. It was assertive. And everything went as shockingly as it should have for somebody who's prepared their mind properly. And so that's the other side of that. Yeah. Complacency. I agree. We've overused it. It's, you know, it's one of those $2 words when, you know, just we could use a different term, but yeah, it's interesting. This is not the job, particularly not in this chapter of American history, man. It's violent. I mean, it's very violent here. And even in our district, we had last week, we had 4 homicides in my district in about 75 hours. So yeah, these are dangerous times. It's not the time to go out here lollygagging and not paying attention.
Often in class, I'll bring up some of the attire that I see some divisions wearing. And so I always find it comical, and I've seen videos on it, and I can't quote or tell you where to find them right now, but I understand that when you have to go to court and you're going to testify as a detective or major crimes investigator, that you're going to have to look a part in a suit. Yep. And I understand there's some intimidation factor, a psychological factor of wearing a suit when you're interviewing somebody in a room,
yep,
looking to establish or solve crimes, whatever it may be. But, you know, I say all the time, you're the tech. Or sometimes you see these chiefs or these higher level administrators go out, like you said, they're 8-round administrative gun, right? Yeah. Yeah. Pancake holster and a radio hanging off, like clipped onto the inside of their pocket.
Yeah.
And that's how they're entering into public. And so, or like these detectives showing up looking like they're going to a, you know, a confirmation or a wedding. Like, you know, you're showing up dressed the same way you're going to show up to a wedding. So the question is, if an active shooter call comes out and you're on the road and you're 10 blocks down from it, are you going?
Right.
And so would you rather go with your 8-round administrative pistol?
Right.
Instead of the 14-15 round pistol you were issued at patrol carries?
Yep. Yep.
Do you have a TAC vest in the car? Do you carry a long gun?
Right.
Because I know you're going. So what would you rather be going? Prepared or unprepared?
Yep. Yeah.
And so I think about that. Like, why do these men and women think like I sometimes you watch the first 48, you'll see these homicide detectives like going out looking for homicide suspects in fucking high heels.
High heels. Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are you fucking nuts? Like, I know you're on. And by the way, like, let me just be very clear. I'm not trying to pick on you. I know you're on the first 48. I know you're trying to look cute and pretty with your fucking 4-inch nails. I get that. But like, let's call it like it is. You're going after wanted homicide suspects.
Yep.
Dressed like you're going for a job interview at Johnson & Johnson.
Yes. Yeah. It's
and crazy.
Yeah. And that gear, you know, everything we're talking about is mindset, but the way you gear out daily is part of that mindset. You know, the way you, you know, how you choose to kit up for work, whatever that's like. I mean, I'm here in the office partly today, but I'm wearing armor as I do every day. I've got a body cam mount under here that I only took off because if I wear it, it looks, you know, it looks like I'm staring at you. And you know, and I'm a commander of this division, but I'm prepared. I got cuffs. I got an extra magazine. I got my gun with my red dot and my light. Like, I'm ready to go right now. But yeah, you know, mindset is all connected. And so if you show up in the morning, you're thinking, man, how just, you know, cute could I look? How can I increase my Instagram likes? I need to, you know, I'm gonna wear these pants because they accentuate my whatever. It's your priorities are out of order, right? You're going to a dangerous job. You know, you're talking about the first 48. They're, you know, they're again chasing a killer, somebody that they already believe has killed somebody. A lot of times in different you know, police organizations, they'll go out into the community and do like response walks to through a community where they recently have had an act of violence, and you see folks wearing all manner of like, but there was a killing there, like just recently. That's why you're there. But your mindset is so complacent that you're just wearing, you know, a polo shirt and, like you said, maybe a gun, no radio. That's not good practice. Don't leave without the radio.
No clip, and I could be wrong on this, but recently, one of the like deputy chiefs of Chicago police was like bringing back community policing. Hey, great. And I saw him like disembarking out of his car in probably some of the roughest parts of Chicago and ill prepared with what he had on his body. Call it like it is. Chicago is rough.
Yes, exactly.
It has more crime there than some third world countries.
Yeah, yeah.
They get like 3,000-4,000 people shot a year, 1,000 deaths.
Right. Yep.
But you know, fucking insane that people realize how insane it is to have 1,000 homicides in a city a year. I mean, it's nuts. You know, Kenny right now, one of our instructors in Ireland, they have 60 homicides in Ireland a year.
Yeah. In the country?
In the whole country.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. We hit 55 last week in here. Right. But yeah, it's, you know, it's, I think when you see people kitted out like that, acting like that, it just, unfortunately, it just shows they're out of touch. Like, you, I'll tell you what you won't see. You won't see one of our D2 officers at working at night going out with anything less than everything they've been equipped with. I mean, you know, tourniquets, extra magazines in their car, ready to rock, multiple flashlights, ready to go, earpieces so they don't, you know, so they don't advertise where they're at and the radio barks and they're chasing somebody. So that's, yeah, because they're front and center seeing the problem, and they realize, like, again, this is real stuff here. This is real life. You got to have it strapped on and tightened up when you head out of these gates, for sure.
You know, dude, I carry a gun all the time.
Yeah, smart.
And you know, people ask me like, why do you always have a gun on you? And I'm like, look, I'll be 42 in November. Dennis Bonino has no interest in engaging anybody physically.
Right.
You want to fight me? I'm not fighting you. Like, where I'm like, You know, it just isn't happening. You're not going to get, like, unless I absolutely have to act, you know, especially if you're drunk or something like that. Like, man, it ain't that time
anymore. Yeah.
But I'm also like, I know how to use it. I'm proficient with it.
Yeah.
And it might just be the last chance for a lot of people for me to intervene with the skills that I have. And I'm not a SWAT guy.
Yeah.
But I've been under pressure in situations like that before. And I'm going to act like everybody, I'm going to act just differently than everybody else. And so, I go to Home Depot. I go to the grocery store. I go to my kids' baseball. I mean, you just don't know. And so I'd rather, and dude, I haven't had to shoot my gun my entire, you know, I started in 2001.
Yeah.
So 22 completed years associated with the profession.
Yeah.
22 years of carrying a gun. I've never had to shoot it at anybody. And so the reason I carry it is because how dare I don't.
Yeah. 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 And if you found yourself, you know, Grossman may have said this years ago, it stuck with me, but if you found yourself with your kids or otherwise out, and he calls it the tools of your profession, and you didn't have that tool of your profession, I don't know that you could psychologically recover in life. You know, if you're like, look, I was there, I was placed there. Again, we're talking about good deeds that have been put before you. I was placed there for such a time as this, and I was negligent. I didn't bring the tools of my profession, therefore I could not impact that situation. I don't think you can recover in life. I mean, I really don't, particularly if one of your kids got injured or, you know, it's why not? You know, that's a mindset, you know, where you combat complacency too, is just carrying the tools of your profession for sure.
And I mean that in the sense of, like, you know, I know some people like literally like arm up like they're on a SWAT team off duty. And by the way, that's what you want to be. That's fine. I mean, I have access typically in my car to a couple extra magazines.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are being saved for, in my opinion, an active shooter.
Yep.
An active stabber.
Yep.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I would get involved unless it was like life or death. Like if somebody's like, give me your car. I'd be like, yeah, take it, bro.
Take the car. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to let you get in the car and start opening 15 fucking rounds in your face.
Right. Like, right.
Just take the car. I got insurance. I got the $1,000 deductible. I got it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just pay it. Like, but it changes if, like, my kids are in the car. Now you're getting fucking shot.
Totally different.
Right? But, like, if you're, like, brought up to me and you're, like, you know, you're sticking a knife to my belly and you're, like, give me your car keys. Like, give right here, app. Like, I'm not dying over this. I saw the video recently. The guy, I don't know if you saw this one online. It's in California. These two kids enter into his garage and they carjack him, his Ferrari.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, two guys.
And he's fighting him. You know, he's fighting him. Come on, man.
No.
Like, you know, what are you doing? You know, you want to get shot over a car.
Yeah, they make a lot of Ferraris. Yeah, have it. You know, that's why you pay.
Like four other supercars in the garage. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Like some of this shit's just not worth it. You know,
no,
I mean, it's just not worth the headache of going through. That's why I tell people cops don't want to shoot people.
No.
Because the headache that follows is just.
Yeah. It's hard on your mind, your finances, like every single thing. We don't want to be in that position. However, we're prepared to. And, you know, that's always what's intriguing. Like you've thought through these things and that, you know, the mantra has always been those that are prepared most and are equipped most and trained most to use violence are the ones that are less likely to have to use it, because you walk with a certain you're making equations, right? Is this car worth my life? No. Is this car worth, you know, and my kid's safety worth my life? Yeah, 100%. You know, you're making those equations. You've been trained. You're equipped. You've got a certain confidence about you, a certain, you know, healthy swagger. And so you're less likely to use, you know, just reactive violence. Whereas folks that are, you know, that are uncomfortable and have not trained their mind and their tactics, they're more likely just out of stress or panic just to, you know, do something they didn't intend to, whether it's, you know, Neil Diamond, like negligent discharging or, you know, missing their target or stressing out, heart attacking, you know. So, yeah, it's good, again, to have that mindset proper. Just leaving the house and leaving the police station for sure.
Great time today. Dude, you are literally people's favorite guest. I get a lot of messages. People
I think that's so interesting. I think that's so odd, man, because I'm not, you know. I'm not saying anything revelatory, in my opinion, but I don't know.
I think it's such a breath of fresh air in a profession riddled with problems.
Yeah.
With problems. And so I can dissect what those problems are. And I'm not afraid to speak about those problems. A lot of people don't want to hear those problems because it has to do with them. But we are riddled with problems. And you know, essentially, one of the core roots of that problem is you get paid kind of no matter what.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And so there really is no repercussions for how well you do your job or how well you don't do your job.
That's right.
And so with that being said, I mean, if the bar is set as literally like, as long as you don't get in trouble, you get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
When there's no accountability from upper command staff to perform and treat people appropriately.
Yeah.
I've said this for years. I'm flabbergasted that you're in control. You're going to get a quarterly or a semi-annual or annual review from your bosses. But as soon as you become a boss, don't worry, you're off the hook now. No more reviews. Your subordinates don't have to review you, terrible. But you get to review them. And, you know, it's just so wild. It's frustrating. And so when you are, and there's this friction between cops who think this is a job or treat it as a job and those who see it as a purpose and a call.
Yep.
Big friction, right?
Huge friction. Yep. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'd say both sides resent one another, which is interesting. But yeah, you know, guys and gals that have been called into this that are not just police officers, but they're cops, like crime fighters, like proactive cops. You know, I don't bestow that that moniker lightly. I think anybody that wears a shield, you're a police officer. Like you've earned it. You've sworn the oath. You've passed the training. But to be a cop. That's why your podcast is not called the Street Police Officers. You know, a cop is one that is hustling, is looking, is on the hunt for injustice and, you know, criminality. And you're out here hustling and being proactive, not reactive. And yeah, and they, you know, understandably resent folks that are just here getting a paycheck and saying, you know, man, this is a great pension and I'm just going to kind of mail it in today. Those people are, yeah, it's not what you want.
And those cops that we talk about here, I am proud to say the best ones do it with such elegance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Smooth. Right? Yeah.
You ever see a master of their craft who's just good at catching bad guys, but at the same time of catching them, they become best friends with them. It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we have, you know, a lot of the young folks, you know, they think you get in a foot chase or whatever. You think at the end of that, you got to like, you know, talk junk and deride the guy and, you know, shame him. And I mean, you know, there is a rare occasion for that, but sometimes it's just like, hey, pal, you know, you're on one side, I'm on the other. I had a plan. You didn't. I won. Hey, you know, you okay? Can I get you some water? Let me, you know, you got to work on your cardio. I'm prepared. You better be. Yeah. And that's a pro. Like that's a real pro. When I see a guy or a gal go from zero and ramp it to 10, chasing somebody and having to fight them. And then they get done and they get them cuffed up, tied up, and they just dust them off. And, you know, they're not in their ego, you know, yelling at them. I just see them like, go back to calm and let me take care of it. Gosh, that's so professional. It's so impressive. I love seeing that stuff. It's great. It's rare. It's great.
How many times I gave somebody my bottle of water that was unopened in my car or used it after I pepper sprayed them right away. Try to calm the effects of the pepper spray. Yeah, just trying to help people out a little bit. And like, you know, like, hey, it's over. Like, you know, you got your cuff, your spray. I'm literally walking them through it like I'm their instructor, academy instructor.
Yep.
And, you know, like, hey, listen, open your eyes. You got to get this. I can't take the cuffs open. I'm going to try to get this in your eyes.
Yep. Stand up, breathe, open your lungs, relax. You know, it's going to be okay. That's a pro right there. I don't like seeing some of the young folks they just get too amped up and it's, you don't have to be condescending. You can be a pro. You can win. We should always, like, I want us to always win. But you can be a pro. And I love seeing that. That's an impressive mixture when you see that.
Well, I think that's where we miss big time. And I'm so hyper-focused on our ability to, I know training can fix a lot of things. And I'm really on my mind to think some of my life's work is going to be fixing the recruit cadet, quote unquote, training program.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what I mean is I went to 3 academies. Like, where were we taught humanity, compassion, professionalism, right?
It's interesting.
Like, you know, where were we taught about like what it means to what we just talked about? Like,
yeah.
Hey guys, once it's done, the guy's in cuffs and it's no longer a fight.
Yeah.
Like we can stop there. Let me show you what it looks like to be professional.
To make that connection, like to connect with you, because it's just humans, flawed humans on one side, flawed humans on the other. And, you know, we're cast together. I remember that last weekend on Patrol Live, there was a a deputy from Florida, I think, Andrew Nelson, and they stopped a car that was just driving erratically and driving crazy. And the guy, the driver was, way, I mean, he was over the top, just being a jerk, hollering. And it turned out that he was had exited the military and had some PTSD. And the deputy, Deputy Nelson, he pivoted and he went from enforcement and like, all right, let me make sure this is, you know, we're not in danger. Is this guy trying to ambush us? And then he realized this guy's not a threat. He just needs help. And he asked him like, you know, look, man, I'm a veteran too. When did you get out? Let's talk through it. And as soon as he said that, the guy in the car, the camera couldn't even see his face, but the guy in the car cracked. And he said, man, I appreciate you asking. I appreciate you listening. And they've talked through a few things, talked through about how he could, you know, get some help and look, we're your pals, however we can help. And he left that traffic stop. They didn't charge him. And he left that traffic stop guaranteed as a new cheerleader of that police agency. But also like he had been connected with, like they cared for him, which they were put in that position for that time. And they could have barked at him and hollered at him and wrote him a citation. And that wouldn't have helped. That wouldn't have helped the world. But him leaving after having that conversation, a little bit more patched up, maybe with a little more hope for the future, like that actually in a small way helped the world. And that, you know, you see stuff like that. It's just so impressive. Like that's so much more impressive to me than, you know, things that we hold in high rate, like lawyers and surgeons and rocket scientists. Like what he did, that is way more impressive to me because it's so diverse and you have to be prepared for those things. But we see that stuff all the time. These guys and gals are pros, absolute pros. It's so super impressive to me.
I guess the last thing I want to bring up, speaking about that, is I'm sure that a lot of people have seen this headline clip of this female police officer response to this house, and the 11-year-old was sending nude photographs of herself to some man, and they intercepted some. I didn't read the article, but immediately the video clip was sent to me, and you know, essentially she's threatening the girl's father that they could arrest her for child porn.
Right.
And the father's saying, like, what are you talking about? Like, she's 11.
Right.
She knew what the fuck she was doing. And yeah. So I wrote, when I posted, when somebody posted it somewhere, said, is it a training failure?
Yeah.
And I said, how is it a training failure? A lot of them go, it is a training failure. I promise you, this was a training failure because of compassion and empathy and yes. breathing and stepping outside of the box and trying to understand what you're seeing here.
Yeah.
And guess who fucked that up all the time? You're talking to the guy right now.
Yeah.
And I can tell you a story, and I'm going to make it real quick. I respond to a Best Buy of a kid's shop with it. And so when I get there, I don't know what he took, maybe like 10 DVDs or something like that. And I get out of the car. I'm a secondary officer, but I got there first. So this guy, Dale, I used to work with, who was a much older guy, but patrol guy, but much older. I mean, significantly. I mean, I'm 42. He must be 65 by now. He's still alive, but he might not be. I don't know.
Yep.
And how I treated as a new guy charged up versus how he treated as a seasoned pro.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to put the kid in cuffs. He literally like was very professional. He's like, put the cuffs away. And he put his arm around the kid and walked him back in like he was his father. That was the best part.
Wow.
And, you know, that was a big lesson learned for me that I didn't have to go that route being charged up. I saw a person who just shoplifted and needed to be prosecuted. And he saw a kid who needed somebody to put their arm around him.
Wow.
Welcome back to the store and talk about it.
And you know, what would be cool is knowing where that kid is today, because I hear stories like that. And that stuff a lot of times is like, that's the comma. And then their story goes on from there, or that's the semicolon. Yeah. Like I was making these poor decisions and then this happened with this cop, semicolon. And then moving forward, now I'm whatever in the Secret Service, running my own business, like as opposed to putting that kid in the system over something. And who knows how that might have had a detrimental effect. And me and you, you know, you and I are of the same DNA. We're not talking about, you know, not charging folks. Like, that's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law, right? You show up there, yeah, the letter of the law said, yeah, you definitely met the tenets. You could have charged that kid. But that's not what was needed. Like, what was most needed in that scenario? And that's a great story. That's a cool story.
I'm so passionate about the training and the work that we do because I look back on how much training I needed in every facet. But one thing I needed training in the most was how to behave appropriately as a human being.
Yeah.
And I think there are parts of me that fell into that, you know, who's going to stop us type of deal, right? Like, and I don't mean that in the sense of like we were like robbing banks. I'm just saying like you could be an asshole and it was okay.
Right.
And because your friends were doing it. And then, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't, this is not feeling right for me. I've had my moments, right? I mean, I've just done such stupid shit. And now 42 almost. I'm reflecting a lot of these things.
Yeah, me too.
And so I'm like, you know, I'm not frustrated myself about the past. I was just, failed.
Yeah. And you wish, just, you know, you can't, you almost wish you could do, you can take this wisdom and just download it into a 20 year old, but you can't, unfortunately you can't. I mean, you just have, you know, we're in our 40s and we've had to learn these lessons by living and making errors. And, you know, if you could go back to the future with the knowledge you have now and I could start back through the academy, I mean, like I think all the time about the training I didn't have, all the guns that I know I missed looking back, like the indicators, as well as like just people that I was just not kind to. And that was just silly. That was ego. That was pride. That was, like you said, me saying, you know, I've got the shield, and it's it, waste of energy as opposed to some lives that I could have positively impacted. Man, I would do it. I would do it different in a lot of ways. But, you know, the best we can do is tell this, these kind of stories, and they're imparted to the 20 somethings that hopefully will glean from what we're saying. I hope so.
You got to promise me you're going to come to the conference this year. It's free.
I can't promise, but I'll do my best for sure. Yeah. I'm real careful about promise because stuff.
I get it.
You know,
I get it.
For sure.
Let's say, let's put it on the calendar. Let's mark April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, yeah. Florida.
All right.
And you know, you're obviously not going to pay to come for the ticket, but right. You'll have to get your own room, yeah. And shit. I'm not buying that for you.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right.
But because actually, and I'll tell you why, we spend a lot of money on bringing men and women who are significantly injured in the line of duty.
Yes.
Typically shot or beaten or in a bad car wreck.
Yeah.
Or targeted in some way.
Yeah.
Heroes. To that event, to honor them, and yep. So we cover their expenses. So I can't. Yeah. Cover everything, because every time we do these big events, my staff's like, you realize how much money we spent hotel rooms for old fucking friends?
Yeah.
That came down. Like, dude, I think our hotel bill for the one hotel last year was like 50 grand.
God, but look, those are heroes, man. I respect it. Like you have wasted money in worse ways. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah. Listen, I'm honored to do it for them. And yeah. So with that being said, but you should really come, because I think people now are so familiar with you that it'd be real delight for them to.
Sure.
To get to meet you and say hello and get to experience you. And I think that the event is something you should experience as well.
Cool. I'm noting it on the calendar right now, my man. I got it. 28.
All right. It's time to end this one. Corey, it's been a blast. And, sure. You know, text me and let me know the dates you're going to head up there. And just make sure you mark the conference in your calendar, because I'd love to have you there. It's,
got it,
it's fantastic.
Got it. So, thank you, Dennis. Thanks.
All right, brother. I'll see you.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at StreetCop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at StreetCop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.